Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It wouldn't be our first pod in a while without a false start. We're going to try it again. It is the ABC Podcast. Here from AcmePackingCompany.com, Green Bay Packers talk from SB Nation, although maybe not the APC pod for long. Might change the name. New season, who this? I don't know. We might mess around, get a little frisky. More on that in a second, as we have got plenty to get into with the quarterback and the training camp and the live tweeting of an airplane's journey across the country. Subscribe, leave us a review, chat with us on Twitter at the APC pod. I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter, holding it down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a.k.a. the mystery layover on Aaron Rodgers' plane ride into Green Bay. And I am joined once again by my trusted friends here, Alex Patakis and Ben Foldy. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. So what did you guys do in Albuquerque?
Me and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, just we hung out at Hotel Chaco and, you know, got a four fingers of tequila and just shot the shit for a while. You know, just like old times. Just like old times.
Hotel Chaco is where the Chaco Taco was invented. The Cobb salad.
That's what I hear. No, it's like the only sort of like, it's where famous people stay in Albuquerque. It's like the one kind of cool, ritzy, expensive hotel.
It's the Pfister of Albuquerque.
Yeah, right. Exactly that. And it's like a little bit in like a weird area. So it's a little secluded. His partner is working on a project that is filming here. We got Netflix Studios and NBC Universal, so maybe that's the reason for the mystery layover.
Shailene.
Maybe they just wanted some green chili.
Who Packers knows? Fans grumpy about Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. Doesn't matter who it is.
Yep.
They're always grumpy about the girlfriend.
That's why we're here.
I can't
to talk about.
I guess the other thing that jumps out at me about Albuquerque is the best Neil Young song, or one of the best Neil Young songs.
Man.
Beautiful. Great Neil Young song.
And that's Ben Foldy, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just vibing.
No, I love it. We're back
like, I'm
together.
Also down like a I'm down a Pfister memory hole, but I'm not doing that one out loud.
We're back together for 30 seconds, and you're like, the other thing about Albuquerque is Neil Young. I'm going to turn my ceiling fan on real quick because it is hot. Kind of hot in these rhinos. All right. We're going to keep that in. We're not editing that out.
Oh.
Yes,
oh,
that
nice.
Was an Ace Ventura
I was a
reference.
Confused.
Wide left. No, what is it? Laces out. Laces out. Sorry. Wide left is the real life.
Yeah, laces out. And I think kind of hot in these rhinos. Is that that's the second?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the second
there's
one.
There's not an animatronic rhino in the Miami edition of Ace Ventura.
So before we get into things, I teased it for just a second, but Justice Mosqueda is, he's going to start pumping out some content in the podcast feed, which is awesome. We're super excited to have him on board. There may also be another show in the feed for you guys out there in listener land this season. So lots more content. And this gives us the opportunity to rebrand with maybe a different name. I don't know. But B, we can now get like as weird and frisky as we like, because we're weirdos. We're not like strictly your X's and O's guys. And being the only show in the feed for a couple of years kind of put some pressure on us sometimes. I think we put pressure on ourselves to create like a certain kind of content, but all bets are off, Alex. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. I feel relieved to be able to go down the whatever path we want to go down. And if it's the Pfister memory lane, then so be it. Because there are other shows to get your hard hitting X's and O's content.
Yep.
My Pfister memory lane actually is Bucks related content, but I'm not allowed on the Bucks podcast. So
you're not allowed. Is there a story there or no?
Too.
Well, so, cool. So it's there was it, and it's actually relates to the current president of the United States as well. So in the 2010 election, there was a Joe Biden fundraiser, like luncheon fundraiser for Russ Feingold. He also famously went to cops and called the ice cream guy an asshole. Sorry, custard guy. And that was like one of those mini like Fox News, you know, moments. And then that's like too many digressions. That's one digression too many. But so I'm at the Pfister for this event, and I'm in one of the elevators, and the door opens up, and the NBA draft was the night before, and the door of the elevator opens up. This is 2010, summer of 2010. So who's the Bucks first overall, our first rounder that year is Larry Sanders. So the door opens up and it's all like 6'10" of Larry Sanders standing in front of me in this like silky suit.
You're like thigh high on this guy.
Yeah, we shared an elevator briefly. Nice. And then I saw Joe Biden, who was not 6'10" or whatever Larry Sanders was. Anyway,
Bucks interlude.
The Pfister.
Stay tuned all season long, folks. We're going to get weird. I don't know. Let's let's actually talk Packers. Let's no transition. Let's just get into it. How can we not start with the big, big news? Yes, he is back for 2021. Alan Lazard has signed his tender. No, I'm kidding. Of course.
Love that guy.
Love him. Excited about the alien lizard. No, of course, we are talking about the quarterback, the gunslinger, the one and only Blake Bortles has been released from the team. And
love that guy too.
Yeah, no, a lot of false starts. It's the theme of the day. No, okay. Obviously, we're talking about Adam Schefter's golden boy, Aaron Rodgers. He's back. He's in the building. We all watched the plane land with bated breath, and everyone, I guess, can unclench their butt cheeks now, right, Alex? Is that how this works?
I'm not clenched, so I guess for me, that's how it works. Yeah.
Ben, were you ever clenched?
What's
your clench status?
I'm gonna be honest. I haven't clenched.
I haven't clenched in years.
All summer. I have to say that my new approach to the off season of trauma is like wake me when it's over. And honestly, it's worked pretty well. Like I haven't followed the ins and outs because thankfully the Montreal Canadiens gave me something more important to worry about for the most part.
Your new haircut, right? Yeah, that's what.
That too. About.
No, I generally agree with the no clenching approach. It's similar to my approach to Randall Cobb coming back and that news, and we'll get to that in a second. But there's all this hemming and hawing about how good is he anymore? Does it make sense with Amari Rodgers and all this stuff? And at this point, my approach is I don't know. It's football. It's just sports. I just want to have fun. I just want to watch Aaron Rodgers throw football. I just want to watch my team score touchdowns. And I am so glad that this stupid, stupid offseason is coming to a close.
Yes.
Yes, confirmed. I don't know if we haven't gotten at recording right now, which is Tuesday the 27th. It's 5:23 Mountain Time. Time zone no one knows. 7:23 Eastern time, we'll say, PM. We haven't gotten any news about what a potentially reworked Rodgers contract actually looks like, but there's been some leaks about concessions, if you want to call them, on either sides, and so I wanted to kind of touch on that, and I'll pull this from Tex Western over at the blog, acmepackingcompany.com, saying that Rodgers and the Packers have sort of verbally worked out that his current contract goes through 2023. They will, I guess, void that last year and agree not to franchise tag him, effectively making him a free agent if he gets through 2021 and 2022 as a Packer. And then they're going to move some money around to give him, I guess, guaranteed money and clear up some cap space this year. The more that I read into this stuff, the more it puts me at ease as a Packers fan. Alex, I don't know about you, but like, it just, it seems like a win-win. It seems like we were kind of like getting made fun of by fans from around the division all summer and then come out on the other side and it's like, Russ Ball gonna ball. I don't know. I feel fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know if I would say, did Russ Ball ball? But I guess. But if
or is he balling B A W L? Is he crying?
Yeah. If there has to be a winner, I guess I would be questioned more. Like, what did the Rodgers camp get out of this in the end?
Right. What did they want, and what did they actually get?
Like, what? Yeah. Exactly. Like, what did they want, and what did they get out of this? Unless.
I mean, doesn't it kind of seem like a show me deal? It's like usually a show me deal is like player based, right? Like it's like, oh, okay, we'll pay you below market, and you show me that, you know, you deserve a bigger contract in a year.
But the script
is
flipped.
It almost feels like a show me deal for the Packers, right? Too. Where Rodgers is like, okay, we'll try this for a year. You know, at the end, either both parties can walk away. You know, hand the reins to Love, get whatever you can in a trade. You know, I think the one confounding factor here seems to be what happens if the Packers win a Super Bowl. Does Rodgers stay? Does Rodgers want to stay? Does Rodgers want to try to do it again? Or does Rodgers? I mean, like the weird thing about that too is I'm not totally convinced that Rodgers would stay if they win the Super Bowl.
Off
like,
the
I
cuff,
don't actually see him. Nor am I.
Cuff, and I'll put it on record. If they win the Super Bowl, I could see him retiring. I wouldn't be surprised if he was just like.
See, I'm not
done.
Even sure if he retires. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, would he want to like do like a weird Rodgers thing and be like, yeah, I'll go try to do this somewhere else just to prove that I can.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I'm trying to figure out like, okay, what this year is going to look like, right? Like Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing. Big mm-hmm. win for us as fans. Yeah. Huge win for us as fans. The Rodgers camp gets, I guess,
that's some extended.
There we go. They get some added time to figure out an exit strategy, like a year of time to figure out an exit strategy.
That's
so maybe that's a win for them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Packers get an extra year to figure out whether or not Jordan Love sucks or is actually going to be a decent player.
That's a huge
or win. Or he's the one that's supposed to move on. So that's like the biggest thing. So, Ben, when you say like it's a show me year, what I think is it's really just a show me year for Jordan Love. Like even though he's not going to play, it's a show me year for him because what that means is like a year from now, if they're not 100% sold, they can continue to try perhaps to make more concessions or to appease Aaron Rodgers even more. But like at this current juncture, what are the concessions and mechanisms for Aaron Rodgers other than Randall Cobb? Like not many, just fielding another NFC championship contending type of team. Other than Rodgers playing, which is huge, like what changes? Like it was always going to be a 2-year plan for Jordan Love, probably. At least it seemed like it.
This is year two going into it.
Like going into year two. Year two. I guess lopping, like restructuring Rodgers' contract changed that a little bit. It makes it, to me, it puts like a little bit more of a ticking clock on Jordan Love, if anything. But
The other big winner here is Davante Adams, right? Yeah. Who's probably going to play himself out of Green Bay with Rodgers back in the saddle, would be my guess.
Yes. Yeah, true. He just made more money, I guess.
He made more money that the Packers are probably not going to give him.
Exactly.
Although that to me raises a forward-looking question a year out where I'm like, okay, let's say Jordan Love doesn't pull it together.
Yeah.
You know, not that he doesn't have it together. I just, you know, let's say Jordan Love isn't what they want him to be in a year, and now they both have to replace, you know, a superstar wide receiver that would have been nice to maybe draft a wide receiver in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And you
need Oh, to really?
Get, and you need to get your hands on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Although honestly, I don't see them not even if Love doesn't seem like he can hack it, I don't see them not finding that out the hard way.
Yeah. The one thing about Adams that I keep hearing bandied about a possible extension for Adams, re-signing him, is this magical time in the future, in like a year from now, when the cap is slated to jump significantly because of these new media deals. And maybe that does actually free up some room for the Packers to give him a big deal.
Yeah. Is that next year?
I think it's the year after next, but this is not the podcast for that. I don't know for sure.
But that's also part of the structure of this deal, right? Is that the Rodgers deal,
yes,
is that the dead cap money of moving on is now pushed off into the
yes. So you're right then. That would be the 2023 season, which would be the void year for Rodgers' contract if that's the way this restructure ends up going.
Yeah, and then doesn't become an albatross around the neck of the pack, even if they don't get a return that they're looking for.
I guess I have written down here as like a prompt, who won? And I guess we kind of have already been like talking about this. Like, what did Rodgers want? What did he get? I don't know if I go all the way to like Tom Silverstein's take, which he tweeted out, I believe today, that he basically thinks Rodgers got fleeced. I don't know if I'd say, did Rodgers get fleeced? Is that fair?
I mean, I don't know if you get fleeced if you're getting, what, $45 million?
Right, yeah. Like, tough break. What a bad day.
And a chance to play for a two-time NFC championship finalist. Like, there's worse things in life, would be my guess. But, I mean, I think the other thing about this that I like is I actually do like the idea of, like, giving Rodgers 1 year to make all the personnel decisions on the team. I hope Aaron Rodgers is like chiming in. He's like, nah, that, you know, Oren Burks, yes, you know, cut Garvin, you know, like I would just love the team chaos guy in me wants to see like Rodgers legit making personnel decisions.
Let's get weird. Just like our show this year. Come on, Rodgers. Let's get weird. Come on, Packers front office. Let's just let him run the show just for this year. It's a show me. It's a reverse show me.
What's the worst that could happen, right? I mean, like, if this year kind of now exists in this, like, nebulous, you know, who knows what, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, there does seem to be, like, this, like, last chance, like, kind of one more year, let's see how it goes vibe. And I just sort of feel like they should take that to its logical conclusion and be like, all right, let's get wacky.
The last dance, which was the reference that, you know, we got on Instagram from Rodgers and Adams, or as Badger Noonan was calling it, the last polka, which I think is more fitting for this crew. A lot can change, though. You know, like, I don't know. I guess that's the one. If you were looking for reasons to be hopeful of this not ending weird and seeing Rodgers play somewhere else, like, it's all going to be results based, I would think. Like, if you're Rodgers and you're open minded to playing this season and you come back and you kind of see the way that things have gone, is there anything that can change if you go out, you win 13 games, maybe you do go to the Super Bowl, like, where you wouldn't have this dance next season?
Yeah.
You know, like, or is it literally just like, I'm just going to shut my mouth, do my job this year, and then, you know, I'll be, thank God it's over after that. I don't know. I guess, like, if the cultural thing is, like, so real and the issue is with people who aren't going anywhere, maybe I shouldn't be hopeful, but I don't know. Something tells me, like, you know, it was, like, moods he was in when they were winning a bunch of games. He had an MVP season. Like, it could change a little, I guess. Like, the vibe can shift.
Well, and he's someone who has talked from time to time about how important legacy is to him and having lived through the Favre debacle in a very personal way, which is not to say that he wouldn't just let all that happen again, but I think it's a factor in his thinking. It may only be 5% of what he's thinking, but I think it's there, and that can influence you.
Well, I look forward to going through this in a dozen years from now with Jordan Love and whatever he's deciding to do at that point.
but to kind of put a bow on sort of the who won thing, I mean, I think that there's sort of like, I was chatting with Justice Mosqueda about this yesterday, that there's kind of like three outcomes for the Packers, and it all seems fairly positive. Rodgers is good and stays or resigns. That'd be great. Rodgers is good and he doesn't, but then we still get a season of good Rodgers football, or he's bad and then he's gone and then we live to fight another offseason. And I don't know, I feel fine. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And that last outcome seems so improbable because, like, there, the one thing that is not even close to a factor in this, which was with Favre and usually would be with most quarterbacks at this age, is a decline in play.
Right.
Like, there's been an ascension. So that is why this is so fucking hard and weird, because you can't sit here and say that it's in the Packers' best interest to move on. Like, you literally cannot say that. And I don't know that you can say that. I don't know how many years it'll be until you can. unless there's that like switch flips where you just see like guys have just lost it. But I don't see that happening with him. You know, the signs aren't really there.
I mean, what if this all just turns into, I don't know, the Javon Walker situation in week one, like there's a debilitating injury and like all of this is for moot.
It's possible. Really, I mean, I don't want to speak that into existence, but that's always on the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's football. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I'm not like. I just, not to harp on the Habs too much, but like I just went through this epic playoff run with the Canadians, and they finish and basically are like, oh, that like talismanic captain that the team was all built around has enough potentially career-ending injuries that he's basically done. And it was like, and there's like a huge generational turnover right after getting close to the Stanley Cup finals. It feels almost like going through that again with a team of just like, I don't know. I feel very almost like zen about my ability to detach from players at the moment. Like, I'm just like, all right, this is all temporary. Devontae, I love you. I'm not going to be attached to you this season because I don't think you're going to be here next year.
Yeah.
Football. We'll see how it goes. Like,
it's hard for me to detach from Rodgers though, because like the one thing that I think I've always felt is that he's not treated well enough, you know? So like, I'm on his side for that. So it's that one that's really, really hard for me to detach, because
you think he's not treated well enough by the Packers?
I know how like he makes all this money. I know they like continually restructure his deal and all that stuff, but like, dude, like we're laughing at like the guys that he was upset that they released, but like those are the guys they surrounded him with. He can't be upset that they let go of fucking Julio Jones because he's never played with anyone like nearly as, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the options I had were Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis and whatever the fuck, I'd be sad that Randall Cobb left too, because I know that they're going to replace him with some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe I'm like still way too pro Rodgers on that. But
when's the last time Jared Aberderis's name was uttered on this podcast?
I always try to remember the weird lost season when Rodgers was hurt and the weird kind of skeleton crew of receivers that year. It was like, what was it? Miles, what's his name? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a Miles. We're both like squinting like Miles something.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I think he wore 19, maybe.
It was the 20.
Like a real slender guy.
Yeah, I'm looking it up on Football Reference because it's going to bother me otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, that season, man.
What a weird year.
Seneca Wallace, my hero.
Oh, I got in. That was when Bob McGinn wrote that article. That was like, the Packers are totally equipped to handle Aaron Rodgers' injury. And then he got hurt the next week. And then Wallace went down and everything spiraled into pure chaos.
Wonderful.
It was Miles.
I know people are listening to this right now, like screaming the name. But
also, that was the year that they won the division at 8-7-1. Which will never
Randall Cobb.
Are we talking about
many memorable plays with Randall Cobb?
Are we talking about Miles White?
Miles White.
That's
19.
It.
Yeah.
Google
Boss
champion
on that team.
Zach Rapport, Google champion.
There you go,
Zach. Jarrett Boykin. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Remember when Jarrett Boykin just got like he the Packers broke him by sacrificing him to the Richard Sherman gods or whatever it was.
Somehow Jordy still had 1,300 yards this season.
I'm a big fan of this podcast just devolving into name a random football player.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
That's one of my favorite brands of Twitter, name a random
football
player.
Honestly, like, let's remember some dudes is pretty much my favorite way to talk about sports at this moment. Like, I feel like I've passed, like, I'm into my 30s, and now I'm just like, oh, yeah. Like, remember John Jaha? Let's just, like, sit around and vibe on John Jaha for a bit.
Fernando Vina.
I mean, if Rodgers were running the team, that's kind of what would be happening with old Packers. He would just be like, all right, let's like Johnny Jolly, huge locker room guy. Like, it would just be like stuff like that.
I love when Johnny Jolly shows up in my
what's
Twitter
Miles
feed.
White up to? Let's get Miles White back.
Yeah.
Alex, one other thing that I wanted to get your take on is the buzzword we talked about that keeps going around. About this potential Rodgers restructure and various quote-unquote mechanisms that may be put into place that maybe Rodgers was looking for concessions either way. This is how the team will do this. This is how Rodgers will have access to that. But the word, I just wanted to give you a moment to sound off because it seemed to pique your interest. It was on your radar, as the Around the NFL guys would say, but the word mechanisms is getting thrown around, I think, hilariously so.
Yeah, because I just have no clue what that could mean in this context. Like, is that what Randall Cobb is to the Packers, a mechanism, like, to having a slightly less shitty receiving core? Like, what could they have possibly said and agreed to other than the contractual stuff? Because that's the thing. Is all that was like in there, and then it's like, oh, by the way, there is some other mechanisms and stuff like that too. And now we've come to learn that, you know, Randall Cobb is going to sign, but like, what else have they put in place?
And I'm sure by the time this airs, the contract will come out, and people will again be yelling at their phone or headphones or wherever.
I mean, will that be in the contract? Like, that won't
the mechanisms.
Yeah, like that won't be spelled out in ways that fans will be able to like evaluate.
That's probably true.
In real way.
That's
like,
probably
does he,
true.
Does he get like his own like private locker room or whatever, like away from everyone, like Brett Favre? Like, is that like a mechanism?
Didn't Favre used to eat lunch in a private room?
Yeah. Is that part of this? Or like, does he have like, you know, their sworn word that Mark Murphy will just like won't speak to him if he sees him. He's just gotta like look the other way, or like, I mean, like what is this even? I don't know.
Wait, so yeah, strange. I guess. I mean,
listen,
not,
man, a pox on both their houses.
Into the soap opera elements of this, but like, who's he really mad at? Is it Murphy? Is it Gutekunst? Is it Russ Ball? Is it everyone? Like, I want to know who he's really mad at. It doesn't seem like LaFleur, right?
No.
Although LaFleur also does seem to be Team Jordan Love.
Well, I feel like he's got to be because like his coaching career in Green Bay hinges on.
Yeah, he's in a rough spot.
You know, Rodgers is never going to be bad enough to get him fired. So his like last year of coaching the Packers is probably going to be coaching Jordan Love, you know, like,
yeah.
So he's got to, you know, he's got to pump him up. And also Jordan Love needs to probably feel good a little bit. Like, you know, I think hearing so much about Aaron Rodgers and how the Packers would be so fucked has to weigh on you as like a young player. Then, you know, that's got to be tough. So yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into this too much, but like we're sitting here trying to figure out who he's mad at. I just keep going back to that one show we did at you know, we were still like doing the show in like the SUNY journalism school, and we read that piece. I think it was a Mike Silver piece about like this toxic culture with the Packers, and like all the alarm bells were ringing. And it was like, is this the start of Murphy kind of like butting into football because Ted Thompson like doesn't have all of his, you know, faculties or whatever. And he's clearly like on his way out and, you know, had some health issues we later came to find about. And like there was a shift there, you know, and we all thought it was McCarthy. And I'm sure that McCarthy was a big part of it, which, by the way, can't wait to watch him on Hard Knocks. That's going to fucking rule. Yes. I don't even really watch Hard Knocks anymore, but I will make a point to because I cannot wait to see him in all his burpee glory. but like, I don't know. Maybe Rodgers like really felt it since then. And I feel like, I don't know. I'm just worried, man. Like, I'm just worried that all of it, like what's going to come to fruition when he's gone is that we're all going to see that he's right and that they are fucked up and they don't know what they're doing. And he has been like holding them up, you know, keeping them afloat for so long. I think he's just bitter about that probably. And also like it has to feel really shitty for them to just draft your replacement because he's clearly not that at peace with the fact that like his time is ending.
Yeah.
That's gotta be a hard thing for anybody to accept, particularly when there is zero decline. So like with Favre, there was like, and I know they went to the NFC Championship or whatever, and he had a great season, but like there were signs that that was not, you know, that wasn't sustainable. With Rodgers,
and he did it.
There's
on
not
his
a
own
lot
terms.
Of signs.
He did it on his own terms. There wasn't any real indication at that point that Rodgers was necessarily like heir apparent. I mean, the team, I think, knew that, but publicly there wasn't.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I wonder how different it would be if they hadn't traded to get into the slot to pick Love too.
Yeah.
Like that to me, and I know that this is all old shit. Like this has been talked about forever and ever, but like that's a hard pill to swallow given the situation they were in and like just being so clearly the best at what you do.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm still, clearly I'm just still like super, I just like can't find a way.
Yeah, you've gone full circle from like, you've gone full circle from unclenching your butt cheeks to now just being completely worked up about a potential doom and gloom future. I would say, I would echo what I said earlier at the beginning of the show, which is just like, I've reached, and Ben, you said this too a little bit, but the Zen moment of like, just, let's just enjoy the football that we have to watch and be thankful. We get Rodgers for one more year. And one last thing that I did want to hit on news related, and we've talked about it a little bit, but possibly one of those hashtag mechanisms in place with Rodgers and the team was this idea of bringing Randall Cobb back. And as I'm scrolling through Twitter, I can't see if it's official yet, but all day it's been like leading to that. Seems like Randall Cobb is coming back. Alex, initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I guess I'm figuring like where he fits into this receiving group. And I saw, you know, like it, people like debating on Twitter already, like the rankings of the receivers. So like Adams, obviously top dog, Lazard and MVS feel like locks to be on the roster. I mean, you just drafted Rodgers and maybe Cobb fills in as that like fifth guy and is the mentor to him. I don't know. I mean, to me, it changes things. Like maybe they're a six receiver team. Like everyone's always like, how many of this do they keep? How many of that do they keep? Like maybe they for sure keep six now. Cause I can't, I mean, like does Randall, he probably doesn't contribute on special teams anymore. Right. Like certainly not anything other than maybe like a returner, which I wouldn't think so.
Like, the thing that I think that anymore. he's still an efficient player who can contribute on offense, but the thing that
right.
I keep hearing over and over again that he still does super duper well is blocking, which is important in Matt LaFleur offense.
Yeah, no, absolutely is. So that's good. And, you know, it's also, he's a mood lightener. So that's...
Cobby!
That's good too. Well, the other thing too is like, you know, it's funny because like, if he were a few years younger, he would be what feels like a perfect piece in a LaFleur offense, right? Yeah. Like, it just never kind of like quite like matched up. Yeah. Like, it almost felt like McCarthy had this weapon that he didn't always know what to do with. And I feel like LaFleur probably would know what to do with him, but he's just not that weapon any longer.
Well, and that's what people said about Amari Rodgers when he was drafted. It's like, oh, this is like they got Randall Cobb again, but whatever, 21 years old or whatever.
Right. So maybe if anything, this is like the, you know, just a way to ease into Rodgers and show Amari, that is, and kind of give him a, you know, a slow ascension as opposed to being expected to do a lot right away.
And Ben, I think this is something that you talk about a lot, but the learning curve for wide receivers and tight ends is two positions where like it's going to take you at least one, if not 3 years, to like really sort of fully realize yourself as a professional. So
yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, I think the league is moving away from that a little. I mean, I don't know if the Packers are moving away from that so much, but you know, you see a lot of kind of first and second round rookie wide receivers really kind of breaking through early. But I still think in the Packers system, especially with somebody like Davante Adams hoovering up targets, like I just want to see some like steady, consistent, you know, systemic kind of learning.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool. And again, I know, you know, age is a factor and Cobb may not be physically what he's always been, but is Jermichael Finley the only time we've seen Cobb play with a good tight end? Like, I just feel like that maybe can like change things a little bit.
I mean, I guess it is the question also, are you calling Robert Tonyan a good tight end at this point?
It'd be hard not to, given the production last year, right? I mean, I don't know. He's not a Jermichael Finley talent, but he's a good tight end. Don't make Zach mad.
How dare you be smirch?
Big f***ing Bob.
I like Big Bob. I'm very ready for some statistical regression this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. That, I think you're fair to be a skeptic. To see, you know, when it comes to keeping that production level up. Although he sent out the Rodman thing, so he's you know, that's who he's likening himself to in MJ Pippen scenario, which I thought was pretty funny.
So if you throw Cobb in, who's not making the team at receiver? I mean, I guess
Funches.
St. Brown is probably gone.
And Funches, I think that he's expendable then.
You think Funches is expendable? I'm not so sure about that.
Well, I guess I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. I didn't even mention him.
He's on the team. He's there.
Is he catching balls thrown out of helicopters? But no, I think, Funches is a legit... I mean, Funches is almost kind of like a tweener, tight end, slot guy.
Yeah, and like body type.
I don't see
I just
him.
Don't know what to go on. I haven't seen him play football in like 18 years.
It's been
years.
A while. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Am I missing a tight end in Dallas or Houston? No, right? I'm just like waiting. I'm just like trying to catch myself in like a...
Tight end. Houston has what? Darren Fells and the guy with the long Polish last name, who I'm forgetting. who was it?
That guy.
Honestly, I don't know who it was last year. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess one last note on the way out as we kind of bring this thing to a close. I know you guys do yourself the service of not hanging out on Twitter in the off season, which good on you. I don't have that kind of self-restraint, so I've been in the thick of it, and it is just a shit show. But I've seen some tweets, some hilariously bad tweets from some of our fellow Packers fans saying things like, how mad is Adam Schefter right now? Like, all that guy wants is scoops and clicks. He's happy as a clam right now. What are you talking about?
Why would he be mad?
Why would he be mad?
I mean, he dominated a news cycle. He overshadowed the NFL draft.
Yeah.
He wasn't wrong about anything. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm coming from that from like a very like, it's funny to be on a podcast and say inside baseball talking about the media on a sports podcast, but like from an inside the media perspective, I think he dominated that story, and I'm sure he.
Well, and you guys have talked. You and I have talked about this. Off air, you found nothing untoward about his approach to breaking the story. I didn't agree with that. And I think most people don't, which is not to say that I don't believe you or respect your opinion, because you are an insider.
Well, no, I mean, I think the one thing to understand is on draft day, there's going to be every beat reporter for every team, all the NFL draft guys, everybody else. You don't know who's talking to who. You don't know who's going to pick up on what scrap of conversation. And if you have a story like that, you get it out. If you have any sense that somebody else is going to scoop you on it. And when it came out with the weird trade stuff in Denver and San Francisco, if you're good on your sourcing and you go to the Packers and get your wink and a nod, I mean, hit publish on that sucker, write it straight in the CMS.
Oh man. Well, I don't want to relitigate that.
What did he get wrong, if anything? And like, now that we can kind of take the whole,
to me, it's not about being right or wrong. It's about believing him that in good faith, he released it when he did for the reasons that he said he did. And that's just a matter of whether or not you believe Adam Schefter, the person telling you that. And I don't, and you do. And I think that's just like where we...
I could go either way. I think there's so many factors that go into when something comes out. I mean, I had this happen a couple of weeks ago where I wrote this story that like really dominated the news cycle about this one company. And it happened. I happened to be like going to their investor event the next day, and like they were trying to raise all this money from a bunch of people for a week. And then I was there. All these local reporters were like, "Why did you put it out yesterday? Like, why are you trying to like admit it? You tried to like smash this guy." And I'm like, "No, it just took me like 5 days to get it through like all the standards and editing and everything else. Like, I'm not that clever."
Yeah. No. But, no agenda there.
No. I don't care. I can't invest in the company. Like, I don't care if I tank their stock. Like, what do I like?
Yeah. And there, we finally ended with, we were ending the show with stock talk. So that's great.
I'm also of the belief, and I'm not saying you feel this way, Zach, and I think a lot of people, I can hear a lot of people's gripe with Schefter and kind of like understand it. But I also think, like, in general, like in mass, people are going to be upset about the way news is delivered or whatever it is when it's news they don't like. Yeah. Like, I truly believe that. Like, yeah. Like, if the news was like the Packers, it was like vague and it was more about like them entertaining the idea of adding whoever the fuck, I don't know, DeAndre Hopkins or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there'd be all this backlash about that. I mean, maybe even in Arizona there would be or something like that. But yeah. I think that it's really hard to separate your feelings from like what that news and quote unquote report means throughout this cycle from the way it makes you feel. I don't know.
Yeah. No. 100%. And same thing on the like covering companies that people are really emotionally and financially invested in is like, I expect them to come at me as if I have a personal gripe.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't, but I you know, that's the nature of news these days.
Sure you don't. Yeah.
No. Maybe not with that company. Any companies you want to throw into the bus? Let's go.
No. I'm good.
So pick one out of left field. Del Monte. Come on,
Chicago,
Del Monte.
The Chicago Bears.
There you go.
Oh, man. McCaskey. I just love what it must be like to just, like, you know, see that Aaron Rodgers walking into camp video when you're anyone else in the division. It's got to be deflating. It's got to just suck, you know?
I guess with everything back to kind of normal, right? I mean, they're the undisputed favorites for the North. I mean, I feel like everybody got to enjoy this like brief what if victory lap of like, Justin Fields is going to give us the NFC North. And now it's back to like, probably not.
Again, I'm combing through the dregs of Twitter, but undisputed, I don't know about that. I think so. I think we all think so, but like,
who's even remotely close to challenging? Like, you think, man, Jared Goff is going to take the Lions?
I think that people are there's a certain kind of person on Twitter that's still very high on the Vikings and thinks that they're being very underrated. I'm not saying that I agree with that. I agree with you, Ben Foldy, but
yeah, I love supporting football teams that trade away their best player.
Yeah.
Like I think that's always a really good move and mark of a well-run franchise.
Well, let's see. I mean, Alex doesn't do Google Wells, what this should be called. The only people whose opinion matters. Yeah. Okay. So Vegas. The Packers went. Yeah, exactly. The Packers are now favored to win the division, which I don't believe they were before today's Aaron Rodgers showing up and walking out of the COVID testing van or whatever.
A bunch of folks were taking. Didn't they stop taking bets on most of that stuff?
Yeah.
While the Rodgers,
I'm sure they did. For a couple days. Like, you maybe can still play something on DraftKings if you live in a state where that is legal, which we all will soon. The Packers are now minus one. It's not like dramatic favorites. They're minus 120 to win the North. The Vikings next at plus 200. Maybe you want to throw a small amount of cash in the Lions plus 2,500 and just root for chaos all season. I don't know.
Justice was talking about maybe getting a gambling pot on. Maybe we could just have you go over the numbers for 5 minutes and throw it on a Friday.
Talk about news you can use. It's all about service. News you can use and lose.
Yeah, exactly.
News you can use for the money you can lose. How about that?
Yeah, service journalism.
I don't know. I think we should land the plane.
Do we have any thoughts on who is going to be the Packer who like ruins the season with COVID and anti-vax stuff?
Who's our Cole Beasley?
I mean, it's going to be an offensive lineman, right? I mean, it's got to be.
I don't know.
It's going to be J.K. Scott.
Oof.
All right. Maybe on the gambling pod we can set odds for this.
Yeah, let's set the line.
I like the J.K. Scott shout. I think that's a pretty good one.
If they have to forfeit a game,
whoever wins the long snapping battle.
If the Packers have to forfeit a game because of J.K. fucking Scott.
Oh yeah, no. The NFL just basically came out with like penalties, right?
Yeah, you're gonna forfeit. Yeah,
violations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah. There's no more moving games. You got to forfeit.
Oh, yeah. We're not rearranging our schedule any longer. We care about our players' health. Yeah. Bullshit. That's so funny. I don't know, man. I mean, the COVID rules feel very loose, as evidenced by the world champion Milwaukee Bucks.
Forcing them to get vaxxed is probably the best thing the NFL can do right now for their players' health.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, I think you're right about that.
Like, tolerating the stupidity is in no one's interest. But it's the NFL, so we'll see how it goes.
Polka.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of polka.
Before we lose more fans.
Who's the guy, the polka guy, you know, it does I Love My Green Bay Packers and stuff. Lumbucker, whatever that guy's name is.
What about him?
He did a Bucks song. I feel like the Bucks are now officially Wisconsin's team and the Packers have some making up to do.
Oh.
I mean, of course. There has never been a more likable, who's the most likable Packer? Don't say Bob Tonyan. Whoever it is doesn't come.
Why can't I say Bob Tonyan?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is.
Randall Cobb.
The same stratosphere.
Randall Cobb is the most likable Packer.
The only knock on Giannis's record, if you're like really hardcore, is that he loves Chick-fil-A. That's like basically fucking it.
All right. We're landing the plane officially. I appreciate the producer assist, Alex, getting me to hit the polka.
I just knew where this was going.
We're going to save our listeners 10 more minutes. We can just go down the rabbit hole, and maybe we will this season. Things are going to be a little bit different, but luckily not going to be that different on the field. Aaron Rodgers is back, and you're holding up your finger. What do you got, Alex?
I have never been more excited for a tarot card reading of the season than this one.
Oh, yeah. Ben, book it. Let's do it. Tarot card before the season starts.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm down.
Get Jamie on the horn. Let's see what he has to say. And
yeah, we need some clarity in these difficult times.
And between us, board meeting, we can workshop some names for the show as we start to share the road here with other audio, mostly from Justice Mosqueda, our esteemed colleague. And I don't know. Go Pack, go. Let's get weird. They're there. They're in Green Bay. They're wearing shorts, sunglasses, stretching.
Gonna ride bikes.
I guess they're gonna ride bikes with kids standing across the street. That's not dystopian. COVID training camp. All right, we're back. I guess. I don't know. Football's happening. We're gonna keep talking about it. All right. For Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, I am Zach Rapport. Follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter. That's it, at the APC Pod. And like, subscribe. That's it.
All right, homies.